Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome into another episode of Believe in Kentucky. Got Aaron Gershon from the Cats Paws, former UK QB Jalen Whitlow. Fellas, we got tons to talk about. It's just been one thing after another. I guess we just got to start at the top. We got spring game. We're definitely going to get to that, Jay. So we're going to have some football on the show, man. It's not going to be football pride. Got to start with the Mark Pope hire and the presser. Aaron, you in the building for it, man. How
crazy. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, it was incredible, man. I mean, what I was told is they were preparing to have 7 sections open. Like, well, they were going to open it if they had to, but they were preparing for 7 sections. That's it. And there was even a curtain above the podium where it would have blocked out the sections behind the podium and where Pope was talking. And I was walking around. I get an email around 1 o'clock that, okay, it's getting really busy here. You're going to want to get here early to park and find parking. That later turned into having to redirect where the media was allowed to park. I was able to get there before, but I ended up, I was 2 hours, 3 hours early, whatever it was. And I take a walk around downtown Lexington and you see the line wrapping around Rupp Arena. It's like, oh my God, this thing is going to be full. It's going to be full for a press conference, 20,000 plus, whatever it is. And sure enough, it was. There were apparently thousands more outside that got turned away. That's how crazy it was. And it was just like a giant pep rally with a press conference involved. And it was awesome, man. It was really cool to see the fan base all in, ready to welcome one of their own back home. Positivity, where there were some zingers we can get to in the press conference, but there was a lot of division in this fan base between, with what was going on toward the end of the Cal Perry era, some of the things Cal said that's led to some divisive stuff. It was just a breath of fresh air, and I thought Mark Pope absolutely killed it up there, said all the right things and then some, and the crowd was just electric, and his family was super into it and seemed genuinely excited for him. And it was a really good day for this program and really for this whole athletics program, because there's a divisiveness just around everything, not to say intentional, but just some of the things that between Mark Stoops and John Calipari and just stuff in the athletics department with Mitch Barnhart and those coaches. Like, it just felt like there needed to be a new voice in the basketball building, and who else would be better at this point when we listen to what he said Sunday and just dig more into his history than Mark Pope, who understands what the expectations are going to be, understands this fan base, understands what it means to be at Kentucky. And I thought he hit on every point you could have ever asked him to. And I thought he was great on Sunday, great on the radio show Monday. And now it's up to him to put together a really quality staff. I like the first hire he's made there already. And then, you know, get this roster going. But that was a really cool day on Sunday.
To recreate the championship celebration where they drove the bus in, the team comes off. Pope is the last guy captain with the trophy in 96 when they walked out to see the banner go up into Rupp's Raptors. And then all those guys, you know, Tony Delt, Cameron Mills been on this podcast.
Yep.
Jack Givens, guys that didn't even play in the 90s. You had all eras of players there, you know, guys.
Yeah, Darius before Miller.
Pope, after Pope, Darius Miller playing for Cal. The bus just had – dudes just kept piling out that bus, man.
It was so cool.
Yeah, yeah. So what's just to flex like that was unbelievable. I think your colleague Chris Fisher put, you know, a couple of days ago, Kentucky tried to flex by trying to buy Dan Hurley. So right. Today they flexed by having a presser that nobody else could pull off.
Except, no one.
You know,
unbelievable. Yep. Yeah, no, it was unbelievable. And like you said a couple times during it, like, I'll show this video to every recruit. I mean, that just imagine what, for example, that Arkansas environment is going to be like when they come in here and any big game this year. The energy is just, you feel it back just around town. It feels like there's a true excitement about this basketball program for the first time in a little bit. And that's not to say people didn't love this year's team with the things that Reed Shepherd was doing, Rob Dillingham were doing. At times, everyone had a little bit of a moment this year, but and it ended up the same way it has the last couple of years, the same talking points from the coach, the same kind of gaslighting that was going on. And this is a guy that understands this fan base, understands it's a very smart fan base, how to treat it, how to talk to it. And, you know, very, very encouraging and exciting. And it makes you definitely excited for what they can possibly do. But he's got a whole ass roster to put together. There's a lot of work. I know it's only going to be year one, but still, you come away from listening to him speak and what he knows is ahead of him, you come away confident that he's a guy who can get the job done.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything Aaron said, man, at the end of the day, you know, you would think that was a national championship celebration or whatnot, you know, but that's good though, man. Like you said, you know, they need to inject some life back into the basketball program. And like you said, the biggest thing is unite everybody back together, you know, get everybody working on one accord. And who's better to do that? And I guess somebody who's done it, who's been there, who's part of the program, part of the fabric of Kentucky basketball. And, you know, the most impressive part, bro, like you said, man, was that bus, man. I'm like, it's just like they had a football team walking off of it, and it was just nonstop. And I mean, he come off with the trophy. It was almost like a WWE scene. Like it was kind of crazy. But that's cool though, man. I'm sure it was a lot of fun for the people in attendance. That was really dope. Like you said, I don't know if anybody can pull that off outside of maybe Alabama football. You know,
I don't even think they did that for Kalen.
Yeah. Not that. But to pull something like that off, you know, that's kind of crazy.
It had to be a former, I don't know, a former Bama player coming back to coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Scott Drew, like I said, is Pope played here and won a title. That's why they could do that, you know.
That's true.
Hurley couldn't do that. He couldn't get a buzz full of, you know, because he doesn't have the ties. He'd get excitement because he's
That place would still be sold out, but you wouldn't have the whole bus and all the player alumni coming
and
in.
And the connection to the past, because I saw him do this as a player, saw him win the title, saw them drive the bus into Rupp and raise the banner that's hanging there. So that's why, you know, it just connected all of that history that's been there from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And I ain't gonna lie. We've been doing emergency episodes. We've been doing the Cal is Gone episode. We've been doing the Mark Pope is Hired episode. for me to sit here and say that when I first heard that it was Pope, I had to kind of wrap my head around it because it went from Hurley and Donovan to Pope. And look, let's be real. He's been coaching for a while, and of all the former cats that are coaching, you know, because Travis Ford is coached, you know, John Pelfrey and all these guys, Pope is doing the best of them, but he wasn't setting the world on fire. Mark Pope, what? And he's out west. You see him, but you don't. It's kind of like, you know, when baseball term, when Albert Pujols left the Cardinals to play for the Angels, I never saw him again. They, you know, I know he played another 10 years out there, but he just wasn't on my TV, wasn't in my radar, unless it was Sunday Night Baseball and the Angels were playing. I virtually never saw the last 8 to 10 years of Albert Pujols' career because they just went on. So Pope was out west. He's doing his thing at Utah. And so when it goes Hurley, Scott Drew, Mark Pope, at first I'm like, wait a minute. Right. And then you see the presser and you look into what he's doing a little more at Utah and BYU than you thought, a little more solid than you thought.
Right.
Of course, the presser just convinces everybody. You got to do more than win the presser, but you have a presser like that, that gets a lot of the momentum rolling. Even dude Nick Coffey that covers Louisville, he tweeted out, he's like, all right, he's crushing this. He even had to give credit where credit is due, and he's at the rival down the road, you know,
right,
doing media for him. So, and he hit all the right notes, like you said. You know, the Maui Invitational's back on the table. You know, playing a zone defense is on the table. All of those things. Yeah. You know,
yes,
he did his homework, man.
Yeah.
It was almost as if he had a checklist. All right, these are the things that have pissed Big Blue Nation off the last 5 years. I'm going to make sure I let them know we ain't doing that anymore.
Hey, like you said, man, he got a group chat of Kentucky basketball players. And you know they got a checklist. You know that, man. You know they got things that they want to see, things that the fans want to see based on what they know. And, you know, they're part of the fabric of why Kentucky is Kentucky. Okay. You know, so they have – the keys to the Ferrari now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like if Greg McElroy, it was like Kentucky has six or Alabama has six bad seasons or five bad seasons, and you get a guy like Greg McElroy come in who won a national championship, was a quarterback, you know, that type of guy to come in and be the coach at the University of Alabama after five bad seasons, they would pack that stadium out for a press conference.
That's a good guy. I was trying to think of who.
Yeah.
Greg McElroy, G-Mac, a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, they would pack that stadium. Or like a John Parker Wilson, who's from the state of Alabama, who played quarterback at Bama. Mm-hmm. Like, they, you know, he didn't win a national championship, but they had some good seasons, or decent seasons under him. But they would pack that place out, you know. And being from Alabama, I could just kind of imagine what a Kentuckian would feel, you know. Somebody who's been a Kentucky basketball fan their whole lives and their family's been that way. And, you know, it would be crazy. So, in a good way. So, you know, that's what it is. Like I said, he had a checklist, man, and he was, you know, swinging for the fences on every last one of them. And he was Barry Bonds in that thing, putting it in the bay behind the stadium.
And he, you know, we're going to win championships in Nashville, the SEC tournament.
I wrote a whole story on it. I mean, here, I'll go through it. It was basically a checklist of things that have pissed Kentucky fans off that Pope hit on in that press conference. So, yeah, we already went over the Maui, the non-conference games. St. John's was the example. Prioritizing one-on-ones, one-and-dones. He goes, those guys that fit here sometimes will be one-and-dones, burger boys for sure. Sometimes they will be guys that come in here, play 4 years, and grow in your hearts and minds and become Kentucky legends. I mean, the NIL and GM wanting to hire those type of staff members, that was something Cal never did here, that fans have been trying to get him to, emphasizing in-state recruiting. You know, Cal took guys like Reed Shepard and Dante Allen here and there, not too much. He was going to take Travis Perry. You know, it talks on that, prioritizing the transfer portal. He kind of has no choice this year, but you look at him at BYU, he's always prioritized it. There's just been limitations on the players he can get. The zone defense you hit on. How about this? Mark Pope, after the press conference, and this is a selfish thing for me to say, whatever, or immediate for me talking on behalf of the media. any media member that went up to him after the press conference, including myself, he talked to for a minute and just introduced friendly. In my 6 years covering Cal, I never had a moment where I talked to John Calipari in a non-press conference situation. I've talked to Mark Stoops off the record, just being a human being. I talked to Mark Pope on day one, being a human being. So really appreciated that and saw him take the time and effort on those. He obviously mentioned Oscar Combs when I asked him a question in the press conference. That was really cool. He also, you know, Alan Cutler, who he worked with over at Lex 18 was when he was interning there. Mac Jones, all the above. He did a really nice job of understanding and being respectful to us, which is something that, you know, we appreciate because we haven't necessarily had that the last couple of years. He had a whole checklist ready and he just went bang, 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 bang. And it was really impressive.
So I know, and I'm not trying to just kick a man as he leaves, but at the same time, we're going to start, you know, talking about Mark Pope and, you know, because Cal has chosen to go to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Because we won't revisit it after a while. Where did the some guy in the media come from? I know you put that in your Twitter.
Yeah.
How did it come about? And
good question.
You know, that whole thing. And look, and Cal did great things. The first 11 years, we know all the Final Fours, the wins, and the stuff off the court, you know, for the tornado victims in Western Kentucky. The floods in Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from, of that. So we're not saying he's a trash dude. I'm not trying to, you know, go off the top ropes. Yeah. But there's stuff that, I mean, you cover him on a daily basis that, you know, probably could have been different or handled smoother and, you know, made your job easier as a person trying to cover him or that kind of thing. So the some guy in the media, where did that come from?
Yeah. So last season, not this last season, but the 22-23 year. They lost at Georgia, and after the game, when he took three questions, I was one of them, I asked him, you know, in that game, the bench, even when it was a close game, like, there was no one cheering, nothing. And remember, that was a problem earlier in that season. They had that game at Missouri where there were just death stares and not really any action. It got better for a little while, and then it took a dip. So I asked him about that. He answered, said he would acknowledge it with the team, whatever. And then the next game at Mississippi State, someone asked him, like, how big was it? They won on the road at State. And somebody asked him, you know, about that and how, like, what led to it being improved. And he said, well, some guy in the media told – and while I'm sitting right there, by the way, I was at the game. I went to Starkville. And he goes, some guy in the media told me last week the bench energy was down, so I got on them. I'm like, I've covered you for 5 years. I'm right here in front of your face, dude. Like, there's just those little things, like – So yeah, I threw that in the bio as a little joke, but that was what I was known as to John Calipari, even though I covered him for parts of six seasons.
Appreciate everybody just watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the Twitter streams. We're coming to y'all courtesy of the Believe Podcast Network or the Believe.com. All the articles, all the episodes will be up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and feel free to leave a comment. Appreciate the comments coming in here as well. We got merch. We got Cat Daddy shirts named by Jalen Whitlow himself. Go to believe.com/shop. Type Cat Daddy's in. Get you a blue, white, or gray Cat Daddy's t-shirt. First comment was about you, Aaron, because they could see your Yankees t-shirt on. And Josh Knight says, Aaron loves the Yankees like I love Kentucky.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, great big win today. They needed it.
Got Athir saying that they're a newcomer to the show. Hello, Athir. So we appreciate all the newcomers. Questions, comments, feel free to drop them in here, and we'll get to them as best we can. This little podcast has been listened to in over 70 countries, so we definitely appreciate that. That anybody that wants to come in and spend time hanging out with us, talking about Mark Pope, talking about the spring game, talking about all things UK. And you know, we get into the other sports stuff. We talk about Aaron's Yankees. We talk some UFL with Jalen since they're in season now. NBA playoffs come up. We'll talk about that as well. I get frustrated about my Cowboys here. So we hit a lot of different stuff as the season goes around, as the calendar progresses to whatever part of the year it is. But definitely glad to have you. And I see Athir says that newcomer, so appreciate it. We have the Pope and no one else does. Let's go. So, yeah, I agree with that. And they have a theory with a question as well. Let's see. What are the expectations this season? I had to catch on the Sweet 16. Whoa.
Well, let's see.
get a roster first.
Yeah, that's the thing. Let's circle back. Let's get a roster. I'll put it this way. Utah State with Danny Sprinkle went from having a new coach to getting the second round of the NCAA tournament this year at Utah State. So if Utah State can rebuild in 1 year, I'm confident Kentucky can. But let's see what the roster is. We have two guys. We have Travis Perry, who I finally got the chance to meet on Sunday and talk to for a few minutes. Really appreciated his time there. And we have the new guy from the former BYU commit, Colin Chandler, four-star guy, fringe five-star guy, really talented player, but he hasn't picked up I don't know how much basketball he's really played in 2 years. He's been away on a mission with the Mormon church, or I'm sorry if I have the phrase wrong, but Mormon type mission, whatever they call it. So he hasn't played in 2 years. So we'll see. I know BYU has like a ramp up period and a really good plan that they put together for those kids, you know, over there, that I'm sure Pope will have to do with Chandler here. But that's it. That's the roster right now. So let's see where the roster's at. They are obviously extraordinarily busy in the transfer portal. They've reached out to 10 or 15 guys since Pope has been here on Monday. They're going to add some of those. They're going to be contacting more and adding some other guys. I mean, I'm pretty confident no one from last year's roster scholarship wise will be here. Maybe I'll be wrong. Let's just see where the roster's at. They have two players right now.
Yeah. So Perry and Colin Chandler.
Yeah. Colin Chandler. That's the team right now. They have more than Arkansas. Arkansas has got one, Big Z.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan Burks is just kind of laying low. I don't know.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Maybe he's just fielding offers and not.
I would think
the mounts, yeah, but
I would think he moves on. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but unless something shocking happens, Reed Sheppard won't be here next year. He's gonna be in the NBA. I thought Rex Chapman had a really good quote on it. I wasn't there, but I heard it, that he said, you're one wrong turn away from never playing again. And obviously, the insurance and the guaranteed money in the NBA is. Look, if there's anyone who would be like, God darn it, I have to leave and become the seventh overall pick, it's going to be Reed Sheppard, because I'm sure he wants to play with his dad's roommate. I'm sure he feels horrible about how last season ended and the performance he had against Oakland. And, even he was close with John Calipari, probably feels bad about how it ended, all the above. But it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Like you're a lottery pick. Like what Pope said, he's praying that it, but I think he played in the NBA. He knows when you have that there in front of you is, and be honest, next year, what do y'all think? If he did come back, I'm not saying he is, he can, in whichever way he's going to make the best decision for him. If he did come back, y'all have seen it. If y'all disagree, feel free to say so. If he comes back, all they're going to do is nitpick his game to death, all these draft experts anyway, and they're going to try to poke holes in whatever it is, and his stock is likely to fall, whether he has as good a year, better year, maybe he does come back and have a worse year, but they're going to needle every little thing. Everything he did to be top 10 now is still boom. Go look at the film. But he come back next year and the year after, and it's just going to get, scrutinized, micromanaged. And I don't know, y'all might feel different, but I think that would happen if he did come back.
Like Nick Saban said, man, scouts are paid to find a reason why not to draft you.
Yep.
That's why they get paid. Okay, find what's wrong with them. Find it. Find a reason why not to draft them.
Yep.
So if you give them a reason, they're going to exploit it. So go to the NBA, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, go go, you know, because, you know, you don't get this opportunity too much. I mean, too often, where it's this grand, you know, you can get drafted in the top 10 or whatever. Go, you know.
Yeah. And it's also, it's not the strong, from what I've understood, I honestly haven't had much time to dig into all of it, but it's apparently not the strongest NBA draft class this year. There's guys who would go lower next year that'll end up higher this year. And maybe that's why a guy like Ugonna Nyenso, who I'm not going to rip a guy's decision, you know, I he might be entering the draft because he has a better chance than he would have next year to be a second round pick or, you know, whatever. So Reed Sheppers is going to be a top 7 to 9 pick is what the word on the street is. And, you know, God forbid, like you said, Vinny and Jalen, if a scout picks something apart or he has a lesser year next year or it's a stronger draft class, like you can't miss out on the guaranteed money that's going to be at stake. So that's why it's probably going to ultimately go that way. But, you know, I'm sure no fan wants to hear it. It's just the truth. And hey, we'll support the hell out of them. But this just not, I mean, it'd be silly. It'd be a silly decision, respectfully. I mean, I'd love it, but, and I'd respect it, but it would be silly from a financial standpoint.
You can't get mad at that. Jason Huber's back in. Pope's on a mission too. See what you did there. Not sure our Mormon players, but his is to back UK basketball to glory. So yeah, that is Mark Pope's mission. So, and he also made a staff hire too, right, Aaron? His first.
Yeah. We'll get it for now. I think it's Fueger. We'll get it. But yeah, it won't be official till I think next week because there's a job posting law in place where, you know, you have to give it 7 days. So the job just got posted 7 days ago. The full staff will probably have a good feel for by next week. But yeah, guy who's been with Pope since BYU in 2013, it was their first year together, you know. Ben is top assistant at Utah Valley and BYU. From what I understand, he's a big offensive mind, guy who can recruit. Now he'll get the chance to kind of recruit with less restriction. I think the thing that the initial reaction with Mark Pope that had to be had to kind of get over the hump and do your research was he was very limited in the player because the restrictions with the religious affiliations of BYU are real and there are rules in place for those athletes that sign there. And not every athlete is going to be willing to cooperate and do what you have to do to go to BYU. So Cody Fueger was a big part in getting some talent there already. Now he'll have a better chance to bring in talent here, but you know, not to go off topic, but the fact that they were able to finish fifth in the Big 12, win at Allen Fieldhouse, which I think only 10 teams have done the last 10 years, not named Kansas. I know Kentucky was one of them. But still, you know, when in your debut year in the Big 12 at Kansas, they beat Baylor head-to-head at home. They got a win over Iowa State, who we all know played their best basketball at the end of the year, won the Big 12 tournament easily. The fact that Pope and Fueger being a part of it were able to accomplish that in year one in the Big 12 was a really big deal. And now at Kentucky, those two who will be leading the recruiting efforts for now, I'm sure they're going to get another big-name recruiter in there. That's speculation, by the way. I saw people are ticking and running with that rumor lately, but I'm assuming he's going to go get a big name recruiter that has a better feel of the national landscape. Maybe I think they'll do just fine. And if Wager's bringing a lot from an X's and O's perspective, he's already doing more than some of the assistants on Cal's bench. And that's not a rip to all of them. I think Chuck Martin's a great coach and a great person. I think Orlando Antigua is a strong coach, strong recruiter, good person. But there were definitely some issues. And John Welch, who's now going to Fresno State, he was a godsend for them offensively.
Yeah.
But there were some issues on the staff from an X's and O's perspective the last couple of years. And I think Fueger is a guy that you can count on in that department. And I think you'll be able to count on recruiting-wise as well.
And I said, Corey, it's Cody. The last name is harder. And I messed up the first name, and that's very simple. It's Cody, not Corey. Yeah. My bad.
It's been a long 11 days or whatever.
That's it. Let's see. Josh Knight was agreeing with you. So weaker draft class. So definitely maybe jump in there, Reed, from that standpoint for sure.
That's why it's almost
too much to lose if he doesn't go. I'm sure a lot of fans will be upset. You can't be upset. I'm not going to be upset. A lot of people still think he's coming back just because his parents and he's from Kentucky. That, no, I mean, let anybody be a top 10 pick and have that decision. And they'll,
I'm sure they'll be bummed, but they're going to – that's going to be their favorite player, man. Like, he will be – that NBA jersey will have plenty of sales, and I bet you the majority of them will come from the state of Kentucky.
Oh, no doubt. And that won't be the first either. When you mentioned Rex Chapman, when Rex got drafted – by Charlotte, the amount of Charlotte Hornets stuff going through my school, I was in middle school, and it was back then. You had those shirts with the, it was animated with the big head. You know Dominique Wilkins was my guy. I was always a Hawks fan until they traded him to the Clippers. Don't get me started. Anyway, but you know, you had the Rex, you had the three, you had all the teal, all that stuff. Was all over school just because Rex was from here and he went there. Clyde Hare with a question. Jeremy Roach, we're hearing those rumors from Duke.
It's still early. He just officially entered the portal today, but Adam Zagoria reported, which would be, wouldn't this be something, that the three schools that are going to be among the front runners are going to be Kentucky, St. John's, and Arkansas. How fun will that be? Cal, Patino, Pope. I haven't gotten a chance to dig too deep on that. He's on that list of guys they've contacted, though, and I'm sure, you know, he's a guy who's going into his fifth year. Was really, really good in the NCAA tournament this year. Would be a great, great leader for this team. Obviously understands what it's to be at a blue blood. So, you know, we'll see where that one goes. Again, a lot of these are portal contacts. It's still early and hard to get a read on exactly who won't get. I still think, you know, the BYU roster from last year, you might be able to poke one or two guys you want from there. I think only a couple are in the portal and one they've contacted so far. So it's still very early in the roster building process. Plus, you know, Pope just got here on Saturday. So they'll have their first big visit weekend, I would assume, this weekend.
Any truth that Coach Antigua's willing to stay in Lexington?
I've heard some things about that. I've heard that's a possibility. I don't want to put anything out there that's too personal from what I've heard in that situation, but I've definitely heard that it is possible that he would want to come back, that he's not necessarily, you know, packing up the bus and just flocking to Arkansas right away. Even if it's not Kentucky, it could be going back to Illinois, which was obviously where he was before Kentucky hired him back. So I would expect the more likely ones to definitely be following Cal to be Chin Coleman. I saw they were together at the Overtime Elite event last night. So I'm sure Chin's going to Fayetteville, Bruiser Flint, and then Chuck Martin and Pratt Calipari, who wasn't on Kentucky staff, obviously, last year. But those are the ones I definitely know are probably heading to Fayetteville. But yeah, with the Antigua, there's definitely some legit, it's a little more than scuttlebutt. I'll say that, but I don't know if those feelings are mutual. But I don't think it would be a bad move by Pope either.
Yeah. Have Cal yelling at Chin next year in Fayetteville, you know,
round four, however long they've been together. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Every offseason I've gotten questions like, is Chin leaving? Like, they hate each other. And I don't think they actually hate each other. They're both two very loud guys. And, you know, there were some issues off the court with Coleman this year. And I'm not going to go down the rabbit hole, but that's one Kentucky needed to move on from and let it be Arkansas's problem. We'll put it that way.
And this is definitely true too. A lot of babies going to be named Reed, no doubt, no doubt.
Dogs, cats, you name it.
Absolutely. So we'll see. Oh wow, people twisting your words, Jason, trying to twist your stuff. Thanks for confirming that.
Yeah. No, I did not say that.
See, that's how stuff gets. Misconstrued, man.
That's funny. Yeah, no, that would be a lie. But I will say, I do think there's some validity to the fact he might want to come back.
Right. We got you. So now, and of course, everybody wants this to happen faster, but it's going to happen as it happens. As you know, they vet players and evaluate guys that think can fit. The roster will fill up. There's a lot of guys that want to play. They want to get players, so it will it will happen. Maybe not as fast as everybody wants. And the staff will fill up too. So all this stuff is happening at the same time. And Jalen, this ain't no overnight. You know, they're still trying to find a house or trying to get moved. All this stuff happening at the same time. Or the family, didn't the family go back to Utah because the daughters are still in school? And it's a whole lot of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you got coaches leave, man. People get so wrapped up into what they see, like they actually have lives. They got a house they got to get rid of or sell. They got furniture they got to move. You know, they got kids in school. You know, they got a family that want to stay there and say bye to their friends and people that they know. You got to take, I mean, family first, right? You got to take that into account. You know, you got, you know, as a coach, you got things that you need to finish up at where you are to get things set up because you want to leave on good terms. Right. You want to make sure the school is not just, you know, you don't just up and leave everything all loosey-goosey for the next coach to come in and clean your stuff up. You want to, you know, do the right thing by the school that hired you in the first place and make sure that you kind of organize things and get things set up for where they can move forward in an organized manner. So that takes time. So it's just a lot of stuff, man, when you come, you got coaches changing jobs in it. Coaches make it look easy because what you see on ESPN and what you see on, you know, on the news or whatnot, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on, you know, behind the scenes that take time, that, you know, human being stuff that, you know, got to get done. You know, these guys aren't robots. They don't just come here and start coaching.
Oh.
That Calism.
The Calism.
No. They gotta, you know.
They're not machines and not robots.
They're not, man.
Like, nah, you're right.
That's hilarious. But I mean, it's easy. Like people are caught up into how it makes them feel and what they see. But it's a big world out there that a lot of stuff goes on that you know they may not see that people got to take care of. So not only that, but just you got to find a place here, like, you know, or in Lexington. You know, you got family members or whatnot. You got to set people up. You got to make sure you handle your roster. You got to get your assistant coaches set up. They have family where they're leaving. You know, it's just a lot, man. You know, and like I said, coaches make it look easy because a lot of times what we see on TV is they are, okay, they get right to work. And that's not really always the case. I mean, yes, they are, but you know, they're spending 21 hours out of the day sometimes when they take a new job to get things set up and to finish things where they were. Like, legit 21 hours. I mean, like, sleeping 2 and 3 hours for some of these coaches when they take these jobs. And I've seen it firsthand. So I know how it is.
You moved. You coached in one of the Carolinas. You coached in Texas and Georgia, right? You've done some moving as a coach yourself, right?
Yeah, coached in, you know, coached at Eastern Illinois, left, coached in South Carolina. Left South Carolina, moved to Texas, left Texas, moved back to Georgia. I mean, so it, you know, there's a lot, you know, and I'm not a college coach where I can have somebody, you know, have a team go fly, you know, fly back to Lexington and move my stuff out of my office. You know, it, you know, so you doing all this stuff, you know, it's a lot, man. You know, it is. So things take time and, you know, and now they don't have a lot of time to waste when it comes to building a roster. But, you know, things take time, man, when it comes to, you know, a coach getting situated, getting comfortable. And to truth be told, a lot of time they don't get situated and comfortable till after their first season.
Right.
After their first season, they finally kind of can take a breath. Like, I know Kellen DeBoer at Alabama is like, he's drowning in work right now. He won't take a breather. I don't know if college coaches ever take a breather. You know, he won't take a breather until after next season at some point. He better win. Then it really won't be a breather. So it's a lot, you know. So, you know, you got to give them time and remember that these people are human. They got families and stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to the spring game stuff in a second, too. But, Aaron, I got to ask you because flashing back to it was either the Cal is leaving episode or the Pope got hired episode, one of them. Maybe it's when Cal, the news broke that late Sunday night, Monday morning, when Cal is going to Arkansas. Yep. You said, you know, I've never covered a coaching search. And so you've now covered your first coaching search. So what was it like from your standpoint as a person? You never covered it. Now you can say you've done something that you'd never done before as a media member.
It was something. It was definitely, and it's, you know, I would say this. It would have been a little easier if it were like 6 years ago when you didn't have the portal element to it. Because now it's like you're covering two different events. And the day that Mark Stoops leaves, if I'm still on this beat, I'm going to lose my mind. Because then you're going to be dealing with 85 free agents. And I was mentally preparing myself for that back in November when the A&M stuff hit. But it was a good learning experience to kind of gain some trust with sources, work on sourcing, also kind of see what info to believe, what info to ignore. There was a lot of good stuff that went into that. It was fast paced. It was exciting. I mean, I got sent to, I don't know why my screen went black and white on me, but I don't know, whatever. I got sent to the airport one day to go check out a plane that ended up being the Drew family. It was just like, and I left before it, like, it was just, it was wild. It was exciting, but, it was definitely a good learning experience. Now, the roster building element of it is crazy in this day and age. I mean, like we said earlier, Kentucky has two players on the team right now. And I would say, you know, maybe they get a freshman or two, but it's going to be mostly transfer portal. It's like covering free agency, but it's slower and dragged out, and there's so much going on. So it's been an experience. It's been a crazy 11 days. It feels like it's been over a month already, but you know, definitely some good learning experiences, definitely something. But that day that football search happens, which I hope Mark Stoops is still here for a little longer, it keeps working out, and maybe they even bounce back a little bit this year. It's tough, man. It's a grind, but you know, definitely learned a lot.
This is a little smooth segue because you said, you know, maybe even bouncing back a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. You and I both sat there in Mark Stoops' press conference after the spring game where he said when they get all the pieces back, they're in position to have a heck of a team. So we know about all the defensive linemen that are out and all of that and being real vanilla and not want to show too much. But those were his words out of his mouth. When we get the pieces back, we are in position to have a heck of a team. So
surprised you said that, you know.
Me too.
Because he took, you remember earlier in the spring, he took the approach, was like, I'm not going to say anything, man. I'm not going to single out anybody and, you know, tell the media how good somebody's doing in spring ball or how far along somebody is. He kind of, you know, kind of made a remark about, you know, keeping his mouth shut, kind of, you know, so to speak. So I was kind of shocked that he said that, but the fact that he said that again tells you that, you know, he feel like this team could be good. And, you know, and we all know this team could be good. You know, we all know how this thing goes. I was talking to somebody the other day about this, man. And when you're in good conferences, you're playing against good competition. You feel good about your team. But at the end of the day, you just don't know. It's so much that goes into it. Staying healthy, you know, all that's why coaches tend to just, you know, they'd rather not talk much about it, you know, because at the end of the day, it's just, you know, it's just so much that, I mean, transfer portal, you know, guys, I mean, just, it's just a lot. So he knows that he has a good team and they feel good about the quarterback situation. They feel good about our offensive scheme. They feel good about the pieces they have back on defense. You know, they got to get some pass rush this year, more explosiveness on the edge. Mm-hmm. JJ got to play big this year, in my opinion.
Yes.
So I think, you know, he knows that he has some older guys. He got some young guys that can play as well. He feel like, you know, he's probably feeling real comfortable with the. I think from what I'm hearing, from what I know, I think they are extremely happy with the receiver coach hire. You know, I think that they are developing in that room, you know, not just physically, but a mindset to where guys, you know, like playing for the coach, and they, you know, they're going to do what they're supposed to do, and have the right mindset when they're attacking things. So, you know, he feel good about it. For him to say that, he feels good about where they are, you know, even with the guys that are not participating.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ball. So we'll see what happens. I think, you know, I think you may get a little bit more excitement watching Kentucky football this year. You know, matter of fact, I know you will because of the offense. Just, you know, just the simple fact they're snapping the ball faster. You know, you're gonna get more touches. Guys can get the ball to more instead of having, you know, 50 snaps in a game. You know, you may be able to have 65, 70, 75, 80. You know, depending on how games go. And the more snaps, the more chances you get, the more chance you have to get the ball to guys like Berrion. And the more chance you have to get the ball to guys like Berrion, your chances to score touchdowns increase dramatically. So that's what football is now. It's like the Golden State Warriors on grass, you know, move around, get the ball to your guys, you know, take shots from deep, you know, positionless football. You know, I think that's where the game is going. And, you know, and that's what they're trying to get into.
Deion Walker, he got interviewed.
Yeah, already. Just he had a shoulder cleanup, I think, in January. So he'll be fine for camp.
Depending on how he does at Tulane, this is probably
possible.
Some raw the next coach. Yeah,
that would have been – I'm pretty confident would have been the hire if Mark Stoops had went to A&M from what I was getting ready to work on and what I was hearing early on. I think it very, very likely would have been John Sumrall. So, you know, as long as Tulane goes well, but why didn't they rehire Clay? Yeah, that's a fair question. I think Chris Collins has done a really good job with the DBs. Yeah. That's the part of it. I mean, I know they didn't have a great year in the secondary last year, but, I mean, Max Harrison emerged as a, you know, an all-SEC guy. Obviously, years before that, they've done really well SEC-wise. And, yes, you're right, Klink is an ace recruiter, but, you know, they kind of filled that ace recruiter staffer role with Eric Wolford. Say what you want about him with how he left here the first time, but go look at his 247 page and the recruits he's brought in. By the way, he brought in Deion Walker. He brought in a big part of bringing in Berrion Brown. So he is an elite recruiter everywhere he's been, including when he was at Alabama, when he was here at South Carolina, he did a really good job recruiting. That guy wins on the trail. And again, Chris Collins has done a really good job. There's no reason to replace him. You're not going to replace Brad White. He's obviously been a great defensive coordinator. And Mark Stoops is a DB coach at heart. So I think, you know, between Stoops, Merrow, Wolford, Collins can recruit too. He's not a shabby recruiter. I think Jaquel Shorts, like Jalen was saying, is going to be not only a great hire for the wide receiver room, I think he's going to do really well on the trail. Guys really relate to him, you know, having been a player not so far removed. And he was a really good player at West Virginia, by the way. And he's still not, I think, what, 7 years, 8 years removed? So I get that's a great question. I was kind of wondering the same. Maybe when, you know, the Michigan staff changes. But, you know, he follows Harbaugh to the NFL life. And a lot of these coaches, as we've touched on this show for a year, they're going to want that pro life because the college life is harder and stressful and all the above.
And Collins got promoted too, so you know he's working his way on up the staff from that standpoint.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, I know you didn't need to see a lot, but I mean you've seen him play before, though, Jalen. But you know Vandegrift, his legs are definitely playing a role because he can move. He can move.
Yeah, and I've been saying this for a few years now. You know, even with Will, I was like, they need more out of the run game from the quarterback position, you know. And even with the healthy Will, I still think they needed more. Not that Will couldn't do it, but they weren't calling it enough. In big games, you have to do it to loosen everything else up, man. And obviously Brock Vandergriff can do it, you know, but you got to call it 4 and 5 times a game, you know. Now you tell them, hey, touchdown, first down, get down, right? Try to protect yourself. You got a touchdown, take, got a first down, take it. If you don't, get your ass down. That's what we tell them, you know. So they gotta get that from the quarterback position. And look, and that's the thing, man. Like in SEC, you know, obviously you're playing these juggernauts, man. You're playing, you know, the top of the top. You know, you're playing next to the worst NFL team at the end of the day. This is the G League for NFL. Yes. So with that being said, the talent, the parity and talent is there. You have to find the edge, you know, to be able to kind of give yourself an edge. You got to find something to give yourself an edge. And I think that the missing piece from Kentucky's football program in the past few years has been a quarterback that is willing to run and a coordinator that's willing to call it. You know, but as we know, that come with, you know, his own thing. I mean, it's caveats to it. You gotta have a backup that you trust. Not only trust, you got to have a backup that you think is ready to play and help you win games if you're going to do that. So but at the end of the day, you got to try it, man. You got to do it, you know, because at the end of the day, it's going to help your team. It's going to help your run game. It's just opened up so much more. I mean, from a defensive coordinator standpoint, you know, you talk to all defensive coordinators. You hear Brad White talk about it all the time. You know, it's just add extra stress to a defense when your quarterback can run, but not only can a lot of them can run, but are they willing runners? When it breaks down, are they going to go get you 12, you know, 15, whatever, 20? And that's the difference. You know, you see teams that's been winning, and those teams have that, you know, have quarterbacks that consistently get you that in a game, whether it's by scramble or whether it's by design.
Absolutely. I know probably going to say the same thing. Jason wasn't at the spring game, Aaron, but who were standouts, new guys making plays, et cetera?
I thought one, Jeremiah Anglin, the DB, who was only – I think he's only been cleared for 10 days. Do I have it right? 10 days? He had the pick six at the end of the game. He had like five or six breakups. He was really, really impressive. Talk about trusting a backup quarterback, Jay. I thought Bo Allen played great. I thought he made some really good throws. I think he looks like a – last time I saw him, you know, whatever it was, 3 years ago, clearly being a starter for a year down at Tarleton State helped him. He also, you know, he kind of got caught in that when they were changing the rules with the one-time transfer waiver where he had to sit out last year. But I think, you know, Clay Helton, say what you want about him as a head coach, he's an offensive mind now. He knows what he's doing with an offense. And I think he really benefited from learning from Clay last year. He looked great. I thought Bo Allen and Jeremiah Anglin were my two, like, standout surprise guys of the day. We didn't really get to see him catch much, but Hardly Gilmore was flying by people, and you definitely saw little glimpses of what the staff is really excited about with him.
16 years old.
Yeah, literally just turned 17, like crazy young. And I think that's why you saw Raymond Cottrell hit the – which is crazy. He's going to be at his third school in 3 semesters. But I think you saw him hit the transfer portal because you already know the top three. They're going to be, you know, Key, Brown, and then Macklin when he gets back will be in the slot. Then you have Anthony Brown Stevens, who's had another solid camp. He actually made a couple of nice plays in the spring game too. There was one play that got broken down that Brock was still able to find AB. It was a nice little play by both of them. Mm-hmm. And then you got Fred Ferrier, who's had a really good camp. You bring him back, Frankfurt native, bring him back, transfer in from UAB, and then you have Hardly Gilmore. So you're really loaded at receiver, and Cottrell was going to be buried, though, you know, I thought maybe he would stick around because, you know, he has 4 years eligibility next year. If things go well, Dane and Berrion aren't going to be here. They're going to be in the NFL. But, you know, such is life. So Hardly played really well. And then I'm trying to think, you know, it was a little hard to get a read on the defense. They are so banged up. I mean, I felt bad. They had playing some first team reps, they had a walk-on offensive lineman up in that D line, number 64. I forget his name off the top of my head, but they are so banged up on the D line. They should get most of those guys back for fall camp. But I know Steven Soles, the outside linebacker, had what would have been a sack in a game. So that was one that stood out to me. And then, you know, new running backs, it was a little hard to get a gauge because they're not tackling to the ground. And then the other one was, you know, we touched on it, but I thought Brock Vandegrift was awesome. I really did.
Yeah, he looked good.
Yeah, we mentioned what he was doing in the quarterback run game, improvising. I thought he made some really good throws, mistake-free football. So those are the guys that that stand out to me off the top of my head. And I think, again, a little hard to gauge, but I think Jalen Farmer is a guy on the offensive line that's impressed me from what I've heard, what I saw in the open practice. He's impressed me all camp.
Yeah, I think, you know, the fact that Bo Allen played well, man, is really big. Like great. You know, because, like I said, we just got done talking about it, man. You got to have a second and a third guy, if you can, that you feel comfortable with going in the game and helping you win in the game. And like I said, how old is Bo Allen, man? He's got to be 22.
23? That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, he's a vet, man.
Yeah, so, you know, you better be playing well at this point. I mean, you know, so that's good. You know, you got some age in there. You got some maturity. You know, I'm sure they probably feel pretty good about the running back spot as well. You know, and like Stoops said, man, this is, you know, I think he said this last year too, but this is probably the best from top to bottom, the best receiver room that he's had. He said it multiple times that they got guys that can make plays. So, you know, just got to give them a chance to make them. You got to run enough plays to make them. So, you know, they got to get that done, man. They got to commit to it. No, and he cannot get into the season and say, hey, let's pull back. Nah, that ship has sailed now. You got to let that man do his thing on offense and let him call it and let him be aggressive and ramp that tempo up. I think he will, but you got to let him do it. You know, you can't go revert back to that old Kentucky style of offense. Now when you got these weapons out there, you got to get those guys the ball, and you do that by getting snaps. So hopefully they stick to their guns.
Yeah, for sure. Sure. So now it'll just be, well, watching the portal all over the place. Football portal in and out, you know, basketball portal in and out, roster construction. That's basically the name of the game right now, Aaron, right? And then, you know, baseball, you'll be keeping up with the baseball and what they're doing. But portal watching and UK baseball.
Yeah, it's a big portal season, both football and basketball. Coaching staff with basketball, obviously. You know, football, mm-hmm. I think they just finished their practicing today, maybe yesterday. So it's been a little quiet on the portal front. I think they've only lost two I think it's two scholarship guys. I think Cole Leitner was a 1-year scholarship. I mm-hmm. could have it wrong, and apologies to him if I do. But definitely Lavelle Wright and mm-hmm. Raymond Cottrell. So, mm-hmm. you know, Stoops talked after the game Saturday and talked about how they're going to have to lose some guys because they're going to want to add some. That's the nature of the business. So I'm sure we'll see some more football guys depart. And then on the basketball side, so you're going to need to get 10, 11, 12 more guys in. So
yeah,
it's going to be an incredibly busy rest of April, early May. Really excited to follow all of it, even though I know I'm going to be exhausted doing it. And then, yeah, baseball, I don't want them to get overlooked, though, because, you know, obviously they get the win at Louisville. They're ranked number 3 in the country right now.
Like, finally.
That is awesome. They're ranked freaking 3 in the country, mm-hmm. only behind Arkansas and Texas A&M. They got number 4, Tennessee, coming in this weekend. Could have some. I mean, it's a very young history because Kentucky Proud Park's in year 5. It's got to be the biggest series that's ever. The next 2 weekends, they host Tennessee and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Arkansas, I mean, the 2 biggest weekends in this ballpark's young history. So I'm really, really excited to see the turnout at KPP. Even if there's a lot of orange in the crowd, there's going to be more blue than there was when they were here 2 years ago. It should make a really fun, active environment and atmosphere. I'm going to be at the game Friday night covering. Can't make the other 2, unfortunately, but I'll be there Friday night. So want to give those guys a shout. And that game at Louisville Tuesday was just nuts. I'm sure it wasn't a fun one for Mingione because of the pitching and, you know, giving up 18 hits and 13 runs. But mm-hmm. Dean got the dub, and they haven't beat Louisville in a little bit now. So mm-hmm. I know that one had to feel good and really cool.
Tennis, men's tennis wins the SEC, and they beat Tennessee to do it. So congratulations to them for doing that as well. Flip back up here to the basketball. Got one more question, Athier, with a basketball question. And because, you know, Cavs in Arkansas and, you know, not going to just keep revisiting him because he's moved on and everybody else is moving on as well. But what was Coach Cal's biggest win aside from the national championship? Athir says Final Four.
Well, that was the same year, right?
Yeah, they had to beat Louisville to get to to get to Kansas in the championship. I would pick that for me because I said it from the jump as soon as because they had to beat Indiana that year as well. I think in the Elite Eight, but you got Louisville in the Final Four. I said it the minute it came out. I said I'd rather lose a national championship game by 50 than lose to Louisville in the Final Four. You got to beat them. You can't let them have this Final Four win and just be able to talk that noise and it'd be hanging over your head. So that's probably the biggest one outside of the championship game for me of the Cal era because it would have been brutal. You know, got family in Louisville and they would have been talking that noise and it just would have been – look, Jalen, you know the Auburn-Alabama thing. Oh, if Auburn and Alabama playing in the semifinal – and Alabama does not they can't lose to Auburn in the semifinal. You'd rather take your beating in the national championship as long as you get past Auburn. That's where I was. I don't care if Kansas beat us by 100 Monday night. Let's get past Louisville to get to Kansas. That's just me, man. That's how I looked at
it. Yeah, that was big. I think one of the biggest wins that he had was a regular season win. What year was that when they beat Smoke off Kansas?
A couple weeks out there.
Yeah, it was at Kansas.
Yeah that would have been his biggest regular season win.
That was a huge win. I mean, not only did you beat them by double digits.
And that would be a win we would be talking about every day if that team didn't collapse.
Yeah.
Keon Brooks played his best game probably at Kentucky. He had about 30 that game, 28, 30 points at Kansas. And they couldn't do anything with him. And it was just, he just never was able to consistently do that. But he had his moments, and that was one of them at Kansas.
Yeah, it was Allen Fieldhouse was quiet that day.
Yeah, nobody goes in and does them like that.
Nah.
You know?
No, not like that, man. That was embarrassing, from their standpoint. They got embarrassed at home.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, I can't not mention this, too. We talk about all the good things. We're talking about, Mark Pope. We're talking about baseball doing great, spring game, Vandergriff looking good. But the piece that came out on Athletic about Lars Jorgensen and the swimming and this basically a culture of sexual violence that spanned for years. If these allegations are true,
that's the lowest of the low.
That's heinous. You can't do that. You cannot.
No, if it's true that, I mean, I've got no words how terrible that is and the consequences that'll be required will be, there a lot of people are going to have to answer a lot of tough questions if that stuff's true. So I hated to hear all about that, of course. I'm not going to comment too much on it just because I'm not fully informed, but definitely very, very disappointing read. It's your alma mater involved in something like that. Yeah. It always ticks you off a little bit. Obviously if it's true, you got to be really proud of these women that are, talking out loud and telling their truth. It's a horrible, horrible accusation. And I truly hope it's not accurate, but it sounds like it might be. And that's terrible.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, shoot, man, I got a couple of friends that was on the team when he was coaching at Kentucky. But that's kind of scary, man. And like I said, I don't know.
To just continue and be such an – it shouldn't happen, but to be just extended period of time, continuing over and over again, and you just exerting your power and threatening and just controlling people and manipulating and just
Yeah, that's like I said, that's the lowest of the low. It don't get any lower than that, So, I'm not gonna say too much, but
And I don't know what y'all saying, but I just can't. I'm not saying we always say what we're gonna say, but to get on here and act like it didn't happen and not say that, we can't do that either. We can't talk about the Bart Pope and the presser is great and all that, and then just not even reference it.
I just don't want to say anything that the things that I want to happen to him because if you do stuff like that, you know, come on, man. It got to be stark consequences. You can't do that. And like I said, that's the lowest of the low to do that to a human being in that manner. I mean, so hopefully those girls are mentally okay, doing well mentally and whatnot, and able to overcome the abuse that they may have received on the hands of somebody who's doing stuff like this. But, you know, like I said, it's just that's unfortunate. And the victims, but, you know, you also got people, like you said, it's going to be a lot of tough questions that got to be answered because you got assistant coaches, you got people who was around, you got AD who got to deal with that, you know, who's dealing with, you know, coaching search, and now we got a coach. But, you know, it's just a lot of people kind of get thrown into that pot of boiling water that, you know, probably don't deserve to be in that, you know.
And when it happens at other places, you know, they get called out. Like, for instance, the dude that was coaching women's basketball at Syracuse, a reputation of similar things going on. Now he's resurfacing and got hired at Ole Miss, and there's a lot of, you know, unhappy people. Why is he back? Because we know why he had to resign from Syracuse. So when you see stuff like that at other places and you call it out and you point to it, but when it's your school is acting a fool, we got to just talk about it as well. Right now, if this is true, Kentucky's acting a fool right now in a really bad way. So, so can't really, no smooth transition from that.
No, nope.
Had to at least mention that as well.
Yeah, got it.
But you know, we'll be keeping up with everything. Aaron, we appreciate all your coverage. Appreciate all your knowledge. We'll be checking you out on the Cat's Paws. Appreciate all your insight, Jay, from the QB perspective, the football perspective, and also you can speak on other sports as well. So, and look, Aaron, one last thing too. One of the comments mentioned how big a Yankees fan you are. Like Aaron likes the Yankees like I like Kentucky. So can't let this episode wrap up without you talking about John Sterling, right?
Oh,
so come on, go, you know.
Yeah, that's the soundtrack of my, you know, Tom Leach is the soundtrack of a lot of childhoods around here. Kaywood Ledford, you know, it's definitely, that's the guy, you know, when we went on car trips and it was baseball season, we're not listening to music. It was John Sterling, right? And, you know, he just is the home run calls, the unique home run calls for each player, just the energy he brought, the commentary. He was just the best, man. And, you know, you knew this day was coming sooner than later. He's 86 years old, but honestly, he was pretty sharp up until the last pitch he called. So definitely was really upset. Felt like a piece of my childhood and young adulthood ended with that announcement. I'm looking forward to watching the ceremony they have for him at Yankee Stadium Saturday. But yeah, man, that one hit close to home. And it was a little bit shocking because he called a couple games early this year. And, you know, kind of last year was the first year he finally started to take some road games off and not go to be at all 162 like he did. I think he had a streak from 1989 to 2022 where he was at every single game. Incredible. It's not like we're talking about the Pirates, right? Sorry to Pirate fans, but like we're talking about the Yankees when they're in the playoffs every single year for the most part. So he's calling 162 plus the postseason every year from 1989 to 22 and then still the majority of games last year. So love John Sterling. Hate that, you know, won't get to hear him on the radio again. That was a shocker for sure. Just because he had called some games earlier this year and sounded pretty sharp. But you know, if his health is what comes first, he's 86. He should be able to enjoy, you know, what he's got. And if he wants to spend time with family and do all that, by all means, he's definitely deserving of hanging it up for how much he's done for our fan base up there.
So I'm, of course, just a, you know, casual Yankees fan, don't know the history. If I'm looking right, he started with the Yankees in 89?
Yes, he was 89. With the Atlanta Hawks before that.
Wow, okay. So 35, 36 years with the Yankees. And he's from New York. Is he from New York?
Yep.
Okay. So that's that is like Kaywood Leffert for me, or Tom Leach being from Paris. Kaywood Leffert was from my county. He's from Harlan County, I'm from. So the whole state loved him, but we loved him on another level because he was from where we're from. So for this guy to be from New York and to be the voice of the Yankees, then that just puts it in perspective for what it is for y'all, just like Kaywood was for us, or Tom Leach is for people now being from Kentucky to be the voice of the cast. So the voice of the Yankees and you from New York, that's
all. Living the dream right there.
Yeah. So he was 10, 12 years in before you were even born, right? Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so cool. I saw that news flash up. I was like, well, can't do this next episode without asking Aaron about this.
Yeah, that hit close to home for sure. Mm-hmm. I got a call from my dad like 5 minutes after it came out. So
right. Man. Well, good stuff, y'all, man. Appreciate this episode. Appreciate everybody putting comments in and taking the time to listen and to watch and tune in. And you know, check us out on Apple and Spotify. If you aren't able to catch on the live stream, however you want to do it, feel free to subscribe and you'll be able to catch every episode. Normally every Wednesday, but when there's emergency stuff, you know, keep your eyes open. We'll do emergency stuff when we can and when we need to as well. But appreciate Jalen and Aaron. It's Vinny Hardy. Appreciate all the comments. Everybody stay safe. Have a good night. And this will put the wraps on another episode of Believe in Kentucky on the Believe Podcast Network. We'll see y'all next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.